Today on the Retro Zoo Super Show, the invasion of the Mushroom Forest.
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the internet, the Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show, and I am your host for today, Kai. I do appreciate you tuning in. We are produced, as always, by Drum. Drum, how are you doing today?
I am functioning normally.
That is fantastic. So, this has been kind of a crazy week. We've gotten the new album out on all of the platforms, and it's, you know, it's being received very, very well, which has definitely made us happy. And so we, for anybody who has picked it up already, it is called Dice and Dre the Mists. And it is on all of the things. It's on all the places. It's you know, in a place where you go and get music, it's probably there. You can take a listen on Spotify, on you know, Apple Music, Amazon, all that good jazz. So we do hope that you will check it out. But you know, I knew that there would be a little bit of work to do, you know, post release work to do, but it's just kind of been crazy, and so things have not at all settled down. I was quite intending to really start in on Final Fantasy IV the after years for our very soon upcoming series on Final Fantasy IV, which will begin, I think, probably, you know, in episode 101. That's the intention, at least. And so, you know, wanted to get a good ways into the after year. So when we do talk about that, then we'll be able to address it, appropriately, which, a lot of you think is code for, trash it. I haven't gotten very far into it, and so it's really hard for me to tell. I'm just such a Final Fantasy IV geek that, you know, just going through the levels again, it's like, yeah, this is the same level. I really don't care. It's fun. And so I like, all the criticisms I've heard of it are things that I just don't care about. Like, you know, oh, there's a lot of grinding. I was like, well, I actually kind of like grinding. And oh, it's the same levels and the same monsters. Like, oh, I've never gotten tired of Final Fantasy IV, and so I'm not going to in any near future. I've played it multiple times, and so, you know, playing the same levels in a different order, just, they don't bother me. It is hilarious to see like the names of the creatures change. And it's like, and we mentioned this when I was playing through Final Fantasy I on mobile, they just randomly changed the names of the enemies, and I don't really understand why. You know, one of the first battles on last, I mean, it's like, what are those? I was like, oh, those are imps, because that's what they are. And then I looked at the actual screen and it said goblins, and it's like, oh, that's just wrong. I mean, it's like, I don't understand the point of this. I understand, like, with the spells, you're trying to change the names of stuff, in order to, make it consistent through the games. And I don't think anybody's, like, emotionally attached to Cure 2 instead of, Cura, or whatever. But, just changing the names of the enemies, there's something foundational about that, where it's like, oh, we're being attacked by imps. Wait, no, we're not, and, it almost makes it hard to communicate about the game at that point. But yeah, I've gotten started in that, and, I did not have time to play except one night, because there was just so much to do still with the album. So I'm really hoping to wrap that up, but, we are going to get into things today. Actually a couple of things we want to talk about. First of all, is we have an arcade update to get to, and so let us get to that. We are this is kind of like the first official Ravecade segment.
Welcome to Ravecade Corner. How's that?
I'll insert some music. I'm joking, I'm not gonna do that. Ravenet, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so last time we spoke to you, you had cut some wood in order to make an arcade.
Yes, that was definitely done. And more wood was cut, several thumbs were nailed, or hammered, and much adult language was spent, but we got through it.
Nice. So, yeah, now it's up and running, I know, but is it quite finished?
It is not. I still have some finish work to do.
But it is working.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah,
all of the fundamentals do work, including the speakers. I put up some more photos on Discord, but I did not have the speaker panel mounted yet. That has been done.
Very, very cool. All right, so... So last time you were on, we talked about having you back to talk about some random arcade games that you were encountering and hopefully enjoying. But I think it's going to be entertaining for us whether or not you enjoyed it. In fact, the more painful it is, I think the better this is going to turn out to be.
There may have been some pain involved, yes.
So what did you dive into once you got this thing up and running?
Well, naturally, the first thing I had to fire up was the good old classic 1992 X-Men the arcade game.
Nice.
Which, for those who don't know, is a side-scrolling beat-em-up produced by, let's see, Konami.
Very nice.
It's based on the, I believe I read the 1989 version of the X-Men. So some old uniforms.
Right. But, I mean, the 70s and 80s were really just like the classic era of X-Men. I think that Chris Claremont was still writing it, and just some great stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cheesy. But... Not the game, but the uniforms. They look cheesy. This is the era that brought about the joke in the first X-Men movies. It's like when they're putting on uniforms, and I think Scott asked Logan, what were you expecting? Yellow tights or something like that, which is great.
And Wolverine certainly has his yellow tights in this game.
Yes. But this game is an absolutely gorgeous game.
Yes, it is.
How is it to play?
It's fun. I'm not used to the arcade style buttons, so jamming those for an extended length of time gets tiring.
Yeah, it does.
But I'll build up those muscles.
Right, you got to practice.
Oh yeah.
it's kind of the same concept. I was teaching somebody guitar just today. and commenting about how, you know, that her dexterity and strength would improve and that she'll be able to play these things that seem very, very difficult to her right now. It's exactly the same thing with you. You know, you've got to build up that dexterity and strength to deal with Arcade.
I would say the guitar skills are probably more fundamentally usable than, you know, my massive Arcade skills. But, hey, you know, to each their own.
You know, it's like, I mean, that's easy enough to put to the test. We'll see how much the Techno Funk Boys new album sells versus, like, we could get on Twitch and play some old Arcade games and see how much attention it brings in there. And it's very measurable on how useful these skills are.
All right, we could do that.
How far did you get in said game?
I had a friend over, and we managed to play through it. It's the first time I've ever actually beat the game.
Nice. Do you pick a particular character for the whole thing, or can you switch them out?
You can switch out while playing.
Okay, so who'd you play?
There are six usable player characters.
Oh, six! I was expecting more than that.
Cyclops, Colossus, Wolverine, Storm, Nightcrawler, and Dazzler. And as far as the comics go, I have no idea who Dazzler is.
I was going to say, it's like, I mean, I was with you for the first five. I'm like, yeah, that's the classic lineup right there. That's just perfect. And then Dazzler. And I'm like, well, they run out of money to buy licensing for a sixth character? Is this even a person? It's been a while since I read the old X-Men, but...
Yeah, I looked it up, and she does have a name and all that, but I don't know. I don't remember her at all.
I'm looking her up. I don't recognize her.
And of course, that means she's the least fun to play in game.
I would imagine so.
Nearest I can tell, all the characters are basically the same except for their special attacks.
Okay. And, so each one has one appropriate to their powers?
Vaguely, yes.
So, like, Storm teleports and Wolverine summons lightning?
Yep, exactly right. No, Storm shoots out a whirlwind.
Okay, that works.
Colossus kind of like hulks out. You'll forgive the obvious, cross reference.
They're both Marvel.
That's true. And when he does, like, he just gets strong and like lightning shoots out of him and hits anyone near you.
Nice. Oh.
Wolverine somehow cuts through the air in such a way that it shoots out a wave of energy that hits people in front of him.
Well, I remember that.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah.
Cyclops, I think, just lectures the bad guys until they fall asleep.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And Dazzler, well, she did whatever Dazzler did in the comics, I guess. I don't know.
I bet it was dazzling.
Yeah, it was. It's not even Jubilee. I mean, really?
Yeah, that's so this is actually pre X-Men cartoon, I think.
Yes, definitely.
And so, yeah, Jubilee. Yeah, okay. So the X-Men cartoon started in '92, and Jubilee was kind of a really random addition to that show. I bet Dazzler would have been Jubilee if this game came out a couple years later.
Yeah, Gambit would have been nice.
Gambit is habitually underused.
Yep.
I mean, even in the movies, the time they used him, it's like it was barely him, and he was barely in it. So.
Maybe they just feel they can't achieve his awesomeness, so they don't
that,
even bother.
And that is fair. Honestly, that's fair. So one of the famous things about this game is just the quality localization of the dialogue.
Yes. Good stuff.
And we are going to play a couple of these clips here as well.
X-Men, welcome to die. I am Magneto. You are nothing.
The White Queen welcomes you to die.
I am Magneto, master of magnet. Dead! Come, X-Chicken, you are dead!
But yeah, some of the most famous just bad translation lines in video game history, which has a history of some just great cringe-worthy stuff.
Yeah, probably number two on the all-time list. Just I'm shy guessing. Of all your base are belong to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that really stands out, because they have these voices that pop up that are spouting gibberish.
One thing's kind of neat is I could actually hear stuff going on. You know, previous experience in my younger days playing this game was in an arcade.
Oh yeah,
and all the games are just you can't understand anything that's going on.
Right, yeah, it just all melds into like a single ear-piercing beep that's just continuous.
And in this one, Pyro comes out, and your Pyro will turn you to toast.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I understand that.
Right. So your cabinet, do you have like built-in speakers?
Yep.
In it? Oh, man, that's cool.
Yeah, they're right above the screen.
Very nice. Oh, that's sweet. All right. So, did this game live up to your memory of it?
It was great. I got to see stuff in the game I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
There is actually a story to it, kind of.
That's also something you'd never notice in the arcade.
True enough. Yeah, so Magneto kidnaps Professor X and Kitty Pryde for some reason. And then, well, spoiler alert, at one point you rescue Professor X, so you're following him, and it's suddenly not Professor X, it's really Mystique.
Oh, she's
led you into a trap, so you fall down a pit and then have to fight your way through another level.
Nice. Nice.
And another spoiler, the first time you fight Magneto is actually Mystique as well.
Oh, just like in the movies, doing all of his dirty work.
Yep.
Nice.
So for the main bosses you fight, you have Pyro, Blob, Wendigo, who I think was a Hulk villain?
I think so, yeah.
Nimrod, I have no idea. The White Queen, Emma Frost, that was kind of neat.
Huh.
Juggernaut.
How does she fit in the story? She's like a completely different team.
Well, you know, they all... It's all in the name of beating down the good guys.
To quote Pitch Meeting on YouTube, I don't know. Juggernaut, obviously Mystique as Magneto. That's a great lineup of villains.
Yeah. And then Master of Magnet himself comes out.
Yeah. Man, that sounds good. And that's one of the games that I think I've watched a lot, but I don't think I ever actually played it. Or if so, it was just like a quarter or two and I died.
Yeah. It does like to eat the quarters.
Yeah. Does it keep track of how many quarters you put in, or did you?
I did not this particular playthrough.
Okay. That would be interesting to know.
I'm wondering if the emulator itself keeps track of it. It might. I might be able to go in and check.
That would be a cool feature.
Bookkeeping.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so after that, you played a random game.
Yeah. My launch box has a Control-Alt-Q will pop up a random game.
Nice.
Of the 2,813 games currently on it.
Wow. Those are all legal, right?
Of course. Yeah. I own the actual cabinet for every one of them.
they're in the attic.
Yeah. I've got a storage shed somewhere.
Right. Oh, so what popped up?
So this was the amazing game from the manufacturer Human. The 1994 release, Blazing Tornado.
Blazing Tornado.
Yep.
This sounds great.
It is a up to 4-player wrestling game.
Oh, wow.
So I think with 4 players, you could have tag teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So in 94, we have the potential of really great graphics at this point.
Graphics weren't bad.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask, because I've also not heard of this game. And so it may have been an outlier.
I'm pretty sure no one has ever heard of this game.
And your rules here, you're playing at least 5 quarters worth.
Yes. Did I get to 5? I think so.
You were like, no, never mind. I'm breaking the rules first game. So it's just wrestling, huh?
The problem is it is super hard.
Really?
So you've got your 3 buttons. It's everything's at an angle for one. So it's like the ring, it's your typical isometric view of the ring, but it's turned 45 degrees.
Okay.
But of course, your directionals are up, down, left, right, not at that turned angle. So that kind of messes things up.
Yeah.
You've got 3 buttons, your light attack, your heavy attack, and your run, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like typical wrestling games, you get close, you grapple, and then have to hit a button really fast. And if you hit the button faster than the computer can hit its button, then you win the grapple and do some move. And that was my issue. I could not outbeat the computer when it came to jamming on those buttons.
Oh, goodness. So did you win any matches?
I did have 5 quarters, because I played 5 matches and I lost every one of them.
Well, congratulations. You made it through 5 quarters.
I did have a couple of great moves, though. Drop kick a guy in the head, throw him out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I did an excellent job at one point when we were out of the ring, and the guy picked up a bottle. I quickly disarmed him by shattering the bottle with my head.
Nice.
And then, of course,
I'm quasi-picturing that. That probably looked very cool.
Yeah, I suppose. I was busy laughing at the time. Yeah, he swung the bottle at me, so I decided to headbutt it and promptly fell to the ground. But it was planned.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, so that is very cool. So do you have any idea what you're going to play less? Are you next? Are you going to jump back into some Blazing Tornado and blaze that tornado to your heart's content?
I don't know as I'll be back to the old Blazing Tornado. Me and my boy Firebird just didn't quite click. And
right.
Yeah, it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 usable characters in this one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I assume in typical, fighter game, you have to beat all of them to move on to the big bad.
Right. Because that's the way real life tournaments work.
One single
person faces against everyone.
Yep. So I don't know as I'll be back to Blazing Tornado. But next on the list, there's a whole bunch of them I'd like to check out.
Okay.
Well,
I would hope so. I mean, after all of this work, I hope you haven't reached the end of your list. You're like, X-Men and Blazing Tornado, and we're done. let's take this thing apart, because it's over.
Yeah, probably not. So I'm thinking possibly Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
the original, then moving on to Turtles in Time.
So Ninja Turtles, and I've mentioned this to you before and to the audience before. It's like the one arcade I beat, and I dropped a crap ton of quarters in there. It was at least 5. And by 5, I mean it's like 5 times 5. but it was 4-player. But that game is amazing.
Are you playing all 4? That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Absolutely. This is why I took so many quarters. It's like, Raph, get them off of you. They're beating you up. Oh, wait, that's me. All right, I got Donatello. Oh, no.
That's also me.
Right. Oh, but yeah, that's a fantastic game. And so very cool.
And one thing I'd like to do is requests and or suggestions from the listeners.
That would be awesome.
You'd like to hear about, or I should check out, or if you want to torture me with something for a bit.
No, let's do that.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Okay, so I am putting in, as we speak, I am putting in a channel in our Discord, and Discord link is in the show notes. I'm putting in a channel for Ravecade.
Wait, why did you name it? What are the worst possible arcade games to force someone to play? Can we change that to channel name?
I'm putting more in there. Make Rave play arcade games. So we're putting this in here, and we definitely would love suggestions. Obviously you played X-Men, you're thinking about TMNT. So are beat 'em ups one of your favorite arcade genres?
Probably.
Yeah. And I don't play many of those on console, but yeah, in the arcade, they were a blast.
Yeah. And it's, you know, pretty mindless stuff. It's not like you have to strategize or anything. You're just mashing buttons. For all of you arcade grog nerds out there, I'm sorry. No, there's some super strategy playing that game. You know?
Nice. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to have you back very regularly to update us on all the games that we torture you with.
Sounds like fun.
And I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to hearing about more and being jealous. I'm not jealous. All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Hey, it's Kai here. We recently finished our latest EP, Quest of the Dragon Warrior. It's an electronic tribute to Dragon Warrior and the amazing music that game gave us. We're really excited about how this music came out, and we want you to have it for free. If you go to technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior and sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get the songs to download and keep for free forever. That's technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior, or check the show notes for a link. All right, so this whole thing has gotten me thinking about arcade stuff, and I did realize that there is another arcade title that I put significant amount of time into, but it wasn't the arcade version that I put time into. It was the NES version, which I came out 6 years later, in 1988, but I remember it seeing the arcade version, and thinking that it was really fascinating. This is a very, very early work, and it's actually the second in a series, but it is the kind of the version of the game that I like quite a bit better. And so we're going to talk briefly today about the game Millipede. Now, you might remember Centipede is the original title on this. And the point of this game is you have this character at the bottom of the screen that you control with the trackball. And you are firing at this centipede that's coming down, but the screen is filled with these mushrooms that is like blocking your line of sight. And so it's kind of sniper-ish, you know, you have to clear a path by destroying the mushrooms, and that way, getting a room to shoot it for any distance, or wait till it comes down, in which case you're in much bigger danger because the centipede is very, very quick. And so it's a relatively simple game, but there's a lot going on the screen. And this is a game that the original Centipede came out in 1981. So this is a very, very early title, and it had just this vibrancy to it that, this, this, com- this, almost deceptive complexity to it, because it's a very, very simple game, but because the screen is so crowded, it adds a lot of it kind of necessitates a lot of strategy and really, you know, really paying very, very close attention in order to make things work. So, you know, besides the centipede that's coming down, and the goal here is to destroy all the segments of the centipede before it gets to you. And if it gets to the bottom, it will stay in the bottom quadrant with you, and a bunch of other stuff will pop up. And so you really want to take it out before it gets that far, because it is very, very quick. And with the mushrooms get in the way and kind of trap you. But the next year, the sequel, Millipede, came out. And again, this is a game, like Centipede. This is a game designed by Ed Logg, who is just an absolute arcade legend. He, besides Centipede and Millipede, which were just huge works, He's also the designer behind the later game Gauntlet, which is just an absolute masterpiece. And you can kind of see the similarities in these games, in that there's a lot going on screen. It is an absolute, you know, adrenaline rush type of a game, where things are moving quickly and moving all over the place, and you have to keep track of multiple things coming at different angles, and none of these games are very straightforward, just, you know, walk to the right type of games, but they're you know, navigating, you know, just this world that is absolutely littered with obstacles and enemies. In Millipede and Centipede, these come by way of the mushrooms, and so these are you know, like little mushrooms made of square blocks, and you can knock them out of the way, but there's a lot of them. When we move forward to Millipede, this is the same kind of game, but it's just more complex. So now the story kind of in Millipede is that you're this elven archer who is defending the mushroom forest against the insects using magic arrows. And so now the Millipede is the main bad guy. Both versions of the game have other enemies that's come through, and it's very interesting, they do different things. So the spider is the most famous one, and the spider actually eats mushrooms, and so the spider can be very, very helpful, but he's very quick and he's unpredictable. You kind of have to make the choice between, you can let him go and kind of clear out a lot of the screen for you and risk him making a sudden dive towards you and wiping you out, or taking him out early, except now the board is much, much more crowded. So there are other things that come through. So there's this little ladybug that comes through, and every time it goes through a mushroom, it changes the mushroom into a flower, and the flowers cannot be destroyed. So now this is a permanent obstacle for you. Dragonflies will come by and dive at you. Mosquitoes will bounce around diagonally. There are also these bombs set up in the forest. Oh, and by the way, whenever you hit a segment of the millipede, it turns into a mushroom. And so the screen is getting more and more and more crowded as you go. But there's these little bomb places that will wipe out a bunch of stuff on the screen. So if you can time it right, you can take out an entire millipede with just a well-placed shot at one of the bombs. And so this was, for 82, you know, and the graphics are early, right? Because this is 82. This is the same era as like the original Pac-Man and such. And so, it's not like this 3D rendered digital mushroom forest or anything like that. Although that might be a really cool game to play an elven archer. We'll get on that at a different time, but this is kind of a black background. The segment at the very bottom of the screen that you can actually work in is slightly off color, and that way you can see where you're limited. But the graphics are very, very early, very, very basic. But the way Edlog uses the screen and has your enemies coming at you from different angles at different speeds at different times and in an otherwise very, very crowded screen really, really brings up the intensity of this game above a lot of the other games of this era. And I think this is like a really, really brilliant early 80s just outright masterpieces. So the NES port, and there were Atari ports earlier than this. It was on the 2600 in 84, but in 88 it got on the NES, and it was a very, very good port. I was given it as a gift, and though I tended to like games with a set beginning and an end and a plot, I found this game to be just a lot of fun, very, very, very stimulating. It's not one that I would play to relax, because it's one that moves very, very quickly and kind of fires at you from all angles. And so that's kind of a quick introduction to this game. I didn't actually know that this was a thing, but in 2018, it was one of the playable games in the Centipede at Home arcade cabinet, which you could get, and it's just like a collection of games in a kind of a replica arcade cabinet. And I didn't realize that they had that particular set with Centipede and Millipede on it, but it kind of goes to show that this is one of those games that has stuck around in the video game consciousness, that it is that it has been remembered, and it did really quite well when it came out, but it has remained strong since then and very much recognized as just a truly great masterpiece.
We have a call on line one.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. caller, you are on the air.
Hey, Kai. Hey, this is Greer. Hey man, I heard you talking last episode about having some ROMs, and I think Rave was talking about some ROMs earlier. You should be careful. You might get in trouble. Bye.
Thanks, Greer. Look, there's another caller. Hey, caller, you are on the air.
Hey, Hey, Kai. It's me. It's Timmy.
Timmy. I mean, yeah. Hey, Timmy. How's it going today?
Hey, yeah. So, I know that your wedding is coming up very, very soon and all.
Just a few weeks from now. That's going to be very, 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 very quick.
Yeah, so I kept looking for my invitation in the mail, but I then remembered that I didn't give you my address. And so I just called Anla, and she said it would be fine to come, and that she gave me where it was and everything. So I just wanted to RSVP here on the air that I'm going to be there.
Oh, great. 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 That's fantastic.
Yeah. And what's more,
oh, you know what? Timmy, I'm sorry. I think I hit the wrong button here. I was trying to do a search on Google.
That was not anywhere near the search button.
I know it was a mistake.
I saw you look directly at it.
It was a mistake, John. It was an accident.
I'm just reporting that I think it is impossible that that was a mistake.
A mistake. It was just a mistake. Can we just move on?
Perhaps I'm just concerned because if this was a true mistake, then perhaps you need to get your eyes checked before the wedding.
I don't. Never. Okay, hold on. It looks like we have another call coming in. Caller, you on there?
Yes, Kai. This is your attorney calling. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't on the air talking anymore about the Sahuagins.
Yes, the Sahuagins. It's not Sahuagins.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that you were staying away from that topic because they are, of course, in pending litigation against you.
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. I do understand that that there is pending litigation against us because we said that they sacrifice humans to their weird cult order.
Kai, what are you doing? Why are you? Don't say it. Just, you know, don't like say it out loud. That's horrible. That's not good at all.
I really, why are you calling me while we're on the air to talk about the thing we're not supposed to talk about?
No, I'm just calling to remind you not to talk about it, that it's very, very important to not talk about it at all.
But you're calling me, telling me not to talk about it.
That's right. It's just to remind you in the moment, like in the middle of it, just so you don't go off and say Sahuagin to anyone. Or call them any of the names that you called them in the episode.
We didn't call them any names. He called himself names.
Kai, that's just a bad story. Nobody believes that.
That's what happened. He was naming off names that he had heard about, you know, his people being called. It's not important. We didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I mean, you mispronounced Sahuagin.
Yes, we mispronounced Sahuagin. I think that word doesn't make any sense anyways. I don't know why, you know, why it's such a big deal that we mispronounced it.
Well, because that's the name of their people, Kai. That's the way it is.
Okay, that's fine. We're not going to mention the Sahuagin again. Let's just. Oh, all right. What else do we have here? Yes, caller, you are on the air. Murd, you're supposed to be dead. Okay, I gotta get I gotta get Steven on the phone. I think we've got to stop the episode now. I really do appreciate y'all tuning in. Please do come head over to our Discord page. The link is in the notes, or check us out on Facebook and Twitter. You definitely want to be here next week. We're going to have a special guest. We're going to have Seth Skorkowski, just a fantastic YouTuber, who does tabletop role playing, YouTube videos, also really, really good author. And I'm really excited about having him on next week. Please, please, please make sure you tune in for that. In the meantime, thank you again for taking a listen, and we will catch you later.
Super Show is brought to you by the Technopunk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Technopunk Boy, on Facebook at the Technopunk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game.